Good morning.
Good morning.
I know that it's interesting over the years giving talks, and after a while starts to make reference to the same people, sometimes the same poetry, etc. So today I'm going to make reference to a book called Bring Me the Rhinoceros, which I've mentioned before. It's a book that I'm particularly fond of. It's been very well reviewed, written by John Tarrant Roshi. And its subtitle is, well, the name of the book is Bring Me the Rhinoceros, and the subtitle is An Impossible Question Means a Journey. And I don't know about your lives, but it's certainly true in my life that when I've encountered an impossible question, whether it's in practice or in daily life, inevitably there's some journey that follows. And usually it's not an easy journey. John Tarrant is the first Dharma heir to Robert Aitken Roshi. And in addition to being a Zen teacher, he's also a writer and a poet. And he was born and raised in Tasmania, Australia, which for all practical purposes was a 19th century upbringing. There was no wired electricity, no indoor plumbing, etc. And I have an affinity to Roshi Tarrant because he seems to be able to put into words things that I've experienced or felt but can't ever really find the words for. Now, my intention of giving this talk is to convey what to me is the spirit of our practice, the spirit of Zen practice. So let me start out by saying that Zen practice is not a construction project. In fact, when Zen is serving us best, we are unbuilding, unmaking, tossing stuff overboard. It's like cleaning out the attic. And then we discover what the attic really looks like. The other thing, on the emotional and psychological level, this cleaning out produces a profound change of heart. It's a change of heart that makes the world seem like a different place. And with this change comes a freedom of mind, and with this freedom of mind comes joy. Also, it's important to understand that the practice is not trying to teach us to make our minds more predictable or more controllable. The practice is actually encouraging us to make an ally of the unpredictable, and in so doing, approach our lives more as a work of art. It teaches us that inside unpredictability is not chaos, but beauty. In this way, our practice causes us to fall in love with all of life, and miraculously, happiness and joy arrive out of nowhere. Now, if we look at it the other way, when we are unhappy, it is as if we are in prison. And in that narrow cell, we think of joy and happiness with what John Tarrant has referred to as an inmate's mind. We're in this tight cell. We might imagine, well, we could make it more comfy if we considered painting the walls a nicer color, or getting a new bed. But Zen doesn't support interior decoration projects. The practice demolishes the walls of the cell itself, setting us free. And when we are truly free meaning not attached to concepts and reason, love and happiness arises that can't be explained. They appear naturally and unconditionally. We are living spontaneously, each moment, a work of art. A work of art that arises from the heart. There is just joy, just happiness, just love. And this is what I would call true freedom. And if we stick with this practice, it is sure to change our ideas of who we are. And this practice will require courage. The old ideas will not go easily. The walls of our self-created prison will resist demolition. But if we embrace this practice as an artistic expression, as a gateway into spontaneity and true freedom, we will realize ourselves, and in the process of realizing ourselves, get out of jail, a jail that we ourselves have created. Thank you.